Let me pray. Our Father, I'd like to be helpful to your people and to bring light from you to those that may still be without Christ. So help us this morning to hear from you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. About 70 years ago, maybe a little longer, I knew about a man who had been a Christian for a while. I don't know just how long, but he was a strong Christian, or so he seemed. And then one day, he fell in not only into sin, but it was very great and grievous. He broke the law and was sent to prison. And in prison, he began to think about what he'd done and what he was supposed to be. And he began to pray. And for some reason, he became very angry with God. I don't know if he thought he should have been delivered from his prison sentence or not, but he was angry. He was so angry, he cursed God. And later, when he was finally released, he said when he did that, something inside of him, he said, the words were no sooner out of my mouth than I felt something shrivel up inside of me. And he would pray and ask God for forgiveness. And he said it didn't seem as if my prayers went any higher than the ceiling of my cell. Now, I want to ask you a question. When a person claims to be a Christian, strives to live the way he believes a Christian should, reading his scriptures, attending church, taking part in service to the Lord, and maybe after many years he's done this, he then falls into some horrible sin. And my question to you is, will God forgive such a man? Will God forgive him and cleanse him? Or will he leave him in what he chose to do and say, and then one day stand before God at judgment and have it all recalled to him? I'd like to spend the rest of this sermon dealing with that issue. When a person who is a true Christian or claims to be and then falls into some terrible, horrible sin that he finds no way to extract himself, he's so entangled, he has no hope. And he prays, and there is no life to the prayers. Is he lost? Has God cast him out? I'd like you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. And I'd like to read the first four verses, because these verses deal with that issue. This is what they say. The psalmist cries out, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, and let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." There is forgiveness with thee. And there's forgiveness for everyone here this morning who wants it. Do you think that man in the prison who cursed God, God would forgive him? We know he can, but the question is, will he? Will God forgive him? I suppose the first thought that might come to your mind would be, well, maybe he really wasn't a true believer. How could a real believer do that? Well, if we read the scriptures, we find over and again and over and again, men of God, great men of God, that did something similar. They may not have cursed God, but they fell into some horrible sin that they never thought they would. But now they're so entangled with it. They're like an unbeliever. They feel they have no hope. And they're without Christ in the world. They feel lost. But David was a man of greatness. Even from a very, very young man, he served the Lord. God called him a man after his own heart. And after he was dead and gone, God would refer to some good thing he was doing and say, "It's not for your sake, but for David's sake I'm doing this." Yes, David, that mighty, mighty man of God, fell into a terrible sin. And then when he thought the sin was going to be exposed and he would become a scandal, he tried to cover it up. And he did it in a clever way, but it failed. And he became so desperate that he secretly made arrangements for the man who he had truly sinned against would be killed. And so David was not only an adulterer of the highest order, if you could say somebody has done it in a high order, but he then murdered him to cover up his crime. And yet, the Word of God, the God that cannot lie, called David a man after his own heart. Now, that may sound all right to you. Perhaps you have fell into some sin. Perhaps you're here this morning, you didn't want to be, but somehow you came. And you need the help of God. Oh, yes. We can think they're not truly a Christian when they do that. And there's no hope for them. But I'd like you to hear. There's many verses I could use at this point, but I've chosen one. I've chosen one that shows to us very clearly that God will forgive. And God will not only forgive sins, but he'll forgive the greatest of sins, the most horrendous of sins. Our relationship with Christ is such that the greatest of sins can be washed away. Hear the word of God. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. I'm going to read verse 18. God speaking, and he's speaking to a man that he was angry with because of his iniquities. And this man who had committed terrible iniquities, and God was angry with him. And then God says this remarkable thing. I have seen his ways. That's what God says. I've seen his ways. I know what he's done. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. God will heal him. And I will lead him. Don't you want to be led by God? Here's this man who's aroused the wrath of God, and yet God says, I will heal him and lead him. And then he adds, and restore comforts unto him. Yes, God will take away the entanglements. He'll take away the voice that condemns him by his own conscience. And God will restore his comforts. He will guide him and he will heal him. And the God that said that cannot lie. when we become Christians, we're not freed from the ability to sin. And everyone here who is a Christian in the biblical sense is, that's a person who entered the world physically, a sinner like everyone else, but there came a time when he realized he was a sinner and he needed someone to pay or take away his sin. And so he believes that Jesus is God's Son, who lived a perfect life in his own nature, the sinner's nature, human nature, and he lived in this world with that kind of nature without sinning, and then he did what he had come to do, and in the words of the scripture, it puts it this way, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And everyone who believes in him, God forgives, cleanses, and makes him new. The scripture actually says he becomes a new creation. A new creation. Something happens inside the man who accepts Christ. It creates in him something that was not there before. A new nature that cannot sin. But we all know that everyone who is born again received Christ as Savior. After a time, they do something wrong. In fact, most of us do a lot of things wrong. We do things wrong because we still have an old nature plus a new one. And the old one and the new one are at war with each other within our own soul. Galatians 5, verse 17 tells about that. They got me wired up here. Look like they're going to electrocute me. I guess it's, if I say the wrong thing, they press the button. I have people who say, yeah, they should have done it long ago. But really, we Christians can sin, and we can sin grievously. Now, not everybody does. Not every Christian does. Many of us just have lots of little sins day after day, and we get embarrassed to go to God with the same thing again, don't we? You can say yes. Yeah, we do. We're human beings with a new nature and an old nature, and sometimes the old nature wins. And the last time I talked to you, I talked to you about that. The great apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans talked about indwelling sin. There was a mighty man of God. And he said, how he had to struggle with the sin. But God not only forgives us of our little sins, if we can call sin little, but he also forgives grievous sins. I've seen his ways, and I will heal him, and I will guide him, and I will restore his comforts to him. He will restore. God Almighty will restore. In the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, there seems to have been some sins for which there was no sacrifice. Some sin for which they could not be justified. And I never noticed that in the scripture. I've read it a long time. But I read this verse in the book of Acts. It's chapter 13, verse 39. Listen to what this word of God says. Acts 13, 39. And it says, by the way, this was a Jew that wrote this. God used a Jew to write this. A Jew who was a Pharisee. A Jew that knew the scriptures very well. A Jew that hated Christians. He said, I was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. And he was dragging men and women into prison because of their faith when he was converted. And he wrote, this is the man God used to write this verse. And by him, Jesus, by Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The gospel of Christ is a covenant of grace, and grace says there's forgiveness for people like me and you. It's hard to believe that the God that made the heavens and the earth will save us and keep us and use us, and when the day comes, when we leave the old nature and the old body behind, and we enter into the place that God has prepared for them that love him, the place that man's eyes have not seen, where man's ears have not heard, where men's hearts and minds have not imagined, the things that God Almighty, God of grace and glory, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, yes. We serve a God of grace and glory. Now, what are you to do if you've sinned very grievously? Do what the psalmist did. What's it say? He says, out of the depths I cried unto thee, O Lord. He prayed. Now that seems obvious, doesn't it? We're in trouble, especially with God. We need to pray. But as obvious as it is, many times people just don't do it. They do something else. They may even pray, but they don't pray to the Lord. They pray to a saint. They pray to the Virgin Mary. Maybe they add some penance to the prayers. But what does the scripture say? Out of the depths, I've cried unto thee. What are the depths? Well, the word means something deep and dark and fearful. I think when God inspired the 23rd Psalm, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He had this depths in mind. It's a place so deep and dark you're alone, and not even the beams of the sun can penetrate to where you are. Deep. But the psalmist is not talking about a physical place. He's talking about morally. Because he has fallen into great grievous sin. And out of that place where his conscience is condemning him, out of that place where he fears to stand before God in judgment, in that place, that fearful place, he cries to God. And if you're in deep sin this morning, cry to God. But men don't always do that. Very often people divert their minds from their sin. And you can understand why. They're miserable. They feel guilty. They want to escape. So they divert their minds. King Saul, the Jews' first king, fell into grievous sin, and he diverted his mind, or tried to, with music. And I think a lot of people do that today. They use music to escape. And when that eventually failed, and it did, he turned to a witch. So people turn to things that at best can just allow them to escape from the voice of their conscience and the Spirit of God calling them. Yeah. They can only escape for a short time. And it stays with them, and it will stay with them forever unless they confess, repent, and believe God's word that he will forgive them. He will forgive them. People do things that can't cure their condition, only make them forget for a little while. Others try some sort of self-effort. They say, well, okay, I'll never do it again. Maybe. But let's say they're successful. That's good, but it's not enough. If you murdered someone today and they took you into custody and you said, well, I will never ever do that again. That's good. But does that mean yesterday's murder is forgotten? Of course not. So saying, I won't do it again, that's good. But what about yesterday? Yesterday has to be paid for. And you can pay for it for eternity. Or you can turn to Christ and receive Him as Savior. But we're talking about Christians now who have a Savior. And they're going to be tormented until they confess fully and freely. Sometimes people confess something that they've done that's wrong because all of the evidence is so much and so great that you can't deny it. So the guilt is really not given freely, it's pressed out of them. God wants us to confess fully and freely. Fully and freely. And He will forgive. Notice what He says then in verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who will stand? What does that mean, mark iniquities? It means that some particular sin, some particular sin is being marked in a special way for punishment at a later time. And He says, Lord, we're all sinners. So if you're going to mark my iniquity, you're going to mark, because you're just, you're going to mark everybody's iniquity. Who can stand? Well, no one can. And the next verse says, but there is forgiveness with thee. It seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it? We all sin. God sees it all. But there is forgiveness to the person who goes to God, confesses it fully and freely, stands and takes the shame that comes from God because we are disappointed in ourselves. And He, when we believe and trust His word, that He will forgive us. And the blood of Christ, it sounds gory, doesn't it? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? That blood is the only thing that can wash us clean. And it can wash clean every sin. If a man will go, confess, repent, and believe God. You know, Judas, after he sinned, was sorry he did it. He betrayed innocent blood, he said. He repented. He didn't want any profit from it. He threw all of the pieces of silver away. There's only one thing he didn't do. He didn't believe God's word that there's forgiveness with Him. And we have trouble with that. But God's not like us. Oh, my goodness. I thought I would be an illustration to the other pastors and make mine shorter. And I find it's a disease. It's called pastor's disease. And the symptom is they love the sound of their voice. And I haven't gotten rid of it. I thought I was healed. When they would go 2 minutes over, what are they doing? I wouldn't do that, but here I am. Preachers aren't any different than parishioners, you know. Not really. We're human beings. We fight the same battles you fight. I'm going to squeeze this in. It's this. Sometimes you hear people who say, well, I'm not worried about God. And if I go to hell, they think they're going to be there with friends and have a good time there. But I want you to know there is a fear coming. There's a fear coming beyond our ability to fully comprehend now. I want you just to think about this one thing. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, came into the world to be made sin for us and pay the penalty for what we've done. But hours before he became sin for us, the scriptures tell us he was in such great agony as it was almost upon him, that as he prayed, he sweat great drops of blood. And he pleaded to God, pleaded, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it could not. But there's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus to wash us clean and take us to heaven. And we're going to go in a better way than Elijah. He went in the chariot. We're going to go holding the hand of a heavenly man.